fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A wonderful Wednesday to you. It is March 10th, 2021. Welcome to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 1-888-914-9149 is that toll-free line to call. Once again, 1-888-914-9149. It's toll-free. Calls on me. I've got a very special guest today who you're going to want to call in and ask a lot of questions of. I'll introduce him to you in just a moment. We also have a Twitter account as well for the show, at Cale Clark Show. So follow that one for all the news on the program, and my personal account, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. The email address, cale@relevantradio.com. I'm going to jump right in. My guest today is the promoter of media for the Dominican province of St. Joseph. He was raised in Fort Wayne, in the great city of Fort Wayne, in the great state of Indiana. And that's where our producer Lucas Holt also hails from. And he was ordained a priest in 2016. Before joining the Dominican Order, he attended St. Mary's University of Minnesota, where he studied philosophy and French literature. Wow, what a combination. He's the associate chaplain at Providence College in Rhode Island. He's also the deputy senior editor of the Catholic news website Alatea. He, as if that weren't enough, he also does this. He's one of the hosts of the very popular God-splaining podcast, where Dominican friars every week muse on all things Catholic, and they consider topics philosophical, theological, cultural, and more. God-splaining presents ideas from the Church's tradition and brings them to bear on our lives' most urgent questions. And by the way, you can learn more about God-splaining by going to that website for the podcast, godsplaining.org. The Dominican Father, Patrick Mary Briscoe, is my guest today. Father, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, thank you so much for having me on today, Cale. I feel like this is the perfect end to what has been a great day.
Yeah, and what's made the day so good so far up to this
Rhode
point?
Rhode Island, which is otherwise very cloudy. Uh-huh. You know, we have the Atlantic coastal thing going for us, right? That's part of the Rhode Island vibe. Today we got that first taste of spring, so it was a balmy 60 degrees, sunny, students were out all over campus, and it was just a very joyful, hopeful day, I would say.
Yeah, days like this are so great, and I live in Toronto, we had the same kind of day today, a little bit of an early taste of spring, and especially with COVID, I think everyone's just dying to get outside right now, so it is awesome, and I took a walk with my dog earlier, and it was very refreshing, and it's going to be really refreshing to speak to you as well. And before we get into your story, so we can introduce people to you a little bit, I have an idea of where you might have come up with this, but just for the listeners out there, how did you come up with the name Godsplaining for your podcast?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, we were talking about what it is that Dominicans do, right? Mm. And fundamentally, the Dominican charism is about the truth. And speaking always about what is really true. Mm-hmm. So it's said of our founder, St. Dominic de Guzman, it's said of St. Dominic that he always spoke to God or about God. Mm. And so as we were musing on this, we were sort of stuck on that what we wanted to do was to be able to talk to people about God. That's the charism. And to help them think about it. And we wanted a name that would be fun and entertaining, and you know, certainly God-splaining catches people off guard. So
yeah,
mission accomplished in that regard.
Yeah, it's a great title, and it's a great podcast too. I've really been enjoying it. And let just to, you know, you mentioned obviously a bit of the Dominican charism and outlook just a moment ago. I love that, talking to God and talking about God. How did you become attracted to the Dominican life and become a friar?
Well, thanks for asking. You know, part of being a priest is the opportunity to, you know, share how God has been at work in my life. And, you know, when people ask that, I enjoy being able to do so. Part of me also does not like it because it's very, you know, it's very intimate, very personal, to be very honest.
Yeah.
But vocation began at my parish church at St. Charles in Fort Wayne in Indiana, and I went to the parish grade school there, and one of the diocesan high schools, Bishop Dwanger, and I had such a positive experience of the religious men and women in my life. We had the Franciscan sisters who were sort of administering the school there. One was the vice principal in those days. Mm-hmm. And we had a number of just excellent parish priests. So I am the beneficiary of really great religious formation. You know, and of course that was nurtured at home from my parents who are, mm-hmm. both faithful believers and whose own example of faith was really inspiring to me. So then you take that and couple mm-hmm. that with just an absolute desire to know, right? You know, the Dominican thing is deep in my bones. And I had a class in high school called Great Catholic Thinkers that actually mm-hmm. played an important role in this, because in that class we started studying philosophy. And I mean real philosophy and real mm-hmm. real theology, heavy stuff. This wasn't just catechetics. So we learned Aquinas's five proofs for the existence of God, and we argued through Pascal's wager and really grappled with these great wow. questions from the Catholic tradition. So that animated my own pursuit of a vocation, which I began with the diocese. And then while I was at seminary, I discovered that I liked the idea of seminary. So normally, if you're a priest, you know, you go to seminary, and seminary is mm-hmm. the thing you do so that you can go out and be a priest in a parish or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. I really liked seminary.
You just like being in community and study and that whole side of things.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right there with me. And what I realized was that those dimensions of life were more fundamental to religious life than they are to diocesan priesthood. So mm-hmm. there's a way in which seminary is kind of artificial. You know, that could be heard as too negative, and that's certainly not the way that I mean it. But right, it's a construct, right? It's a structure to help people thrive and be formed to serve the church as priests. Yeah. But I really like those things as integrated and natural, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. wanted always to live them. So.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Absolutely. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. My guest today is the Dominican friar and priest, Father Patrick Mary Briscoe. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, seminary means seedbed, and it is a training ground. But also, as you said, it does have a lot of parallels to the religious life. And obviously, that's the direction that God pulled you in. And one of the things that you said on a recent podcast that you did on Godsplaining, on the virtue of love, you said that joining the Dominicans felt like for you that you were coming home for the very first time. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, growing up, I did not know religious priests. I mean, the priests that I knew were the parish priests, the priests of our diocese, you know, who were truly great men. And, you know, I had this kind of longing for a religious life, which I didn't know and which I couldn't make sense of until I arrived at the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C., and I was there on a vocation weekend, and I saw 50 young friars, you know, men my age, that, wow. that were serious about the life of prayer, about chanting the Liturgy of the Hours, mm-hmm. that were rigorous in their debate. I mean, there's a joke, right, that dinner table conversation at the House of Studies should be a 3-credit course. and that it takes a lot to put up with us and follow us. And you know, that just moved me so deeply that I didn't know that was what I wanted until I found it. So I don't have the personal story of a dramatic conversion, but I identify very strongly with the sense of homecoming, with arriving at the charism, discovering the richness of the order and the way that it's lived in the province, and really being transformed by that.
Yeah, I think that's so great. And I think no matter what your vocation is in the church, it should feel like that to a certain extent. This is how you're to attain sanctity, whether it's through the vocation to marriage, the vocation to the priesthood, the vocation to the religious life. There's so many roles in the church that we can possibly play. And for somebody who might be out there listening today, and you're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, my guest, Father Patrick Mary Briscoe from the Godsplaining podcast. If someone's out there today and they're thinking about, oh, I don't know if I'm called to the religious life or not, what advice would you give them as they think about that and pray about that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. So this is one. I got a couple pet theories here, right? so one thing that, and this, again, is coming out of the Dominican tradition, one thing that I think is very important is to recognize the natural desires that you have, because God speaks to us through those attractions insofar as they're good for us, right? You know, we might have things that we're drawn to on a kind of natural level that aren't good for us. And those are inclinations that we shouldn't feed, right? But insofar as something is good for us, that's a desire of the heart that we have a confidence that God put there. So if it's a reasonable thing for you to pursue, pursue it. And I think a lot of the times we get trapped by using language like discern, and things become kind of numinous and opaque. And that's not the way the Lord works. The Lord is not confusing. He wants to call us to clarity, and he will confirm the movements and plans he has for you insofar as you respond to them. So so I think the other tendency is that the people sometimes get trapped and consider their vocational discernment as a kind of internal thought experiment. Yeah. And that's not really true. You have to go to a religious community and meet its members and see how you respond to the to the charism by interacting with it, right?
I think that's
a difficult thing to propose during COVID, but
absolutely. But I think that's such a great point, because you can't figure this stuff out in your own mind in the abstract. What you imagine the life to be like, you've really got to get some hands-on experience in the practical sense. And I think that's a really, really good piece of advice right there. So, I mean, obviously reaching out to those who are living the life, spending some time with them, and just kind of taking a step. And obviously the Lord doesn't always reveal 15 steps down the road, but enough light usually to take the next step at least. So that's very well said. My guest is Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, the Dominican friar and priest, who's one of the great minds behind the Godsplaining podcast. And we're going to take a quick break on Relevant Radio right now, but when we come back, I'm going to talk about some recent episodes that you guys have done, especially on the theological virtues and why they matter in our day-to-day life. Oh yeah, we've got some Hillbilly Thomas music for you on the way out. We'll be right back.
We stand for the gospel, we sit for the homily, and now it's time to stand up again for the profession of faith. Hi, this is Father Rocky with our 19th lesson on the Mass. On Sundays, holy days of obligation, and solemnities, the people stand after the homily and make the profession of faith, also known as the creed, because the first word is credo, which means I believe in Latin. Typically, we recite the Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed, which capsulizes the dogmatic formulations of the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD and those of Constantinople in 381. It's commonly called just the Nicene Creed. We stand for the creed to show respect and attention for what we believe, and also to honor all martyrs who died for these beliefs. If you're ever confused about what you believe as a Catholic, or if anyone ever asks you what you believe, you can simply recite the Nicene Creed for them.
One of the three pillars of Lent is prayer. So make this your best Lent yet by joining Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America every evening at 7 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
This is The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the program. If you have a question for my guest today, give us a call, 1-888-914-9149. You can call right now. There's a couple phone lines open, 1-888-914-9149. You can jump in with a question for my guest today, Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, a Dominican friar and priest and part of the team behind the Godsplaining podcast and also the deputy editor of the Alatea website. And we do have a question for you, Father, that comes to us from Karen Moran, who's a producer here at Relevant Radio, part of our show team for the Cale Clark Show. And she wanted me to ask you, what is the question that you are asked to Godsplain the most often?
Ooh, this is great. honestly, right now, everyone's talking about vaccines. I mean, this is what's on everyone's mind. So it feels a deeper work to be done in the Catholic sensibilities of medical ethics, what it means to make healthcare decisions for ourselves, and what it means to make them in the mind of the Church and according to our consciences as we've been formed. So right now, that is what we're all talking about. Mar Ostriaco, who's a world-renowned scientist, he has a degree in biology from MIT, and an STD. That is a degree in theology from Freiburg, Switzerland. So why not? Why not get a second doctorate? That's a very Dominican thought. So he's a great presence in our community and the source of much discussion about that moral issue.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense to me. Obviously, that's on everybody's mind right now, to be sure. And recently on the show, you've done some episodes on the virtues, along with Father Gregory Pine, Father Jacob Bertrand, Father Bonaventure, some other hosts. And I found those really interesting because we were speaking about the virtues on a recent episode of the show. And just to get us started, I want to ask you a couple questions about this, but if you could explain to the audience who may not be familiar with that type of an education, a classical education on the virtues, what exactly are virtues in the first place?
Yeah, that's great. So virtues are those stable dispositions by which we have the power to pursue the good. So we can compare virtues to vices and say that vices are the opposite. Vices are stable disposition bad for us. So virtues are fundamentally powers. They enable us. They allow us to move in certain directions, morally good directions, again, in our lives. Evading virtues is kind of like wearing down patterns in our lives, the way that water wears down stone so that it can travel smoothly. You know, nice. So your heart's a grand canyon, and you need the river of virtue flowing through it, carving a steady path for morally upright action.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great definition. And obviously the three that are talked about as the theological virtues are, of course, faith, hope, and love or charity. And I have some specific questions about those, but let me first ask you this, Father. Why are faith, hope, and love called theological virtues?
So if you open up any kind of fundamental textbook, it will say, virtues have for their object God himself. But that link is not necessarily apparent unless we think about what the words we're using mean, right? It's very important that we always clarify our terms. This is what Dominicans love to do, clarify and then distinguish. So the word theology, it is the work that has God as its object. And so the theological virtues are those virtues, those stable patterns, which have as their object, their end, the thing they're shooting for.
Okay, we seem to have lost the connection with Father. We're going to try to get him back on the line. So we're going to take a very quick break on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, but we will get Father back in just a moment. If you want to call this number, 1-888-914-9149, you can ask him a question, and he would love to talk to you. Once again, my guest today is Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, Dominican friar and priest, and part of the Godsplaining podcast team, which is so popular and just spreading like wildfire all over the internet. So we'll be back after this on Relevant Radio. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back. We had a little bit of technical difficulty there, but Father is back on the line now. My guest today, Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, Dominican friar and priest, part of the Godsplaining team. He also is an editor at Alatea, that great Catholic news site. If you have a question for Father, you want to call in, 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call, 888-914-9149. Or you could tweet it to the show account if you're too shy to call in, at Cale Clark Show. We're talking about the virtues right now. And Father, welcome back. And talk about the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. I want to talk about hope just for a second, because we're obviously in an age right now, especially in this time of COVID, where loneliness is up. Unfortunately, suicide rates have been proven to be up. Depression is up. How can we best understand hope at a time like this? What really is hope? And is it more than just wishful thinking and optimism?
Right. Well, the first thing that we can say about hope is that hope is in our will. Right. So faith is the theological virtue which perfects our mind. It's a habit of the mind and allows our intellects to assent to the things of God. Supernatural hope is divinely infused, which means that it's God that gives us to
God that gives it to us, right?
Mm.
Like if you think of an infused drink, it's a flavor that's been put in a substance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the infused theological virtues, faith, hope, and love, they're all infused. They all come from God. They have God as their object and their origin. Hope is, it's a virtue that heals that sorrow of heart.
Mm.
And so it allows us to look at the things of God with confidence, to act as one who will arrive at the destination, right? So
yeah.
Aquinas says that hope is the virtue of the wayfarer. It's the virtue of the traveler, and it's the virtue that allows us to carry on, right? So it in hope we're not Pollyannish. We don't ignore the difficulty,
mm-hmm.
because hope moves us to the future good, despite it being difficult or arduous. So I think understanding all of those things is kind of where we say, like, this is where it comes from, and this is the shape of hope, that leads us beyond the things of this world.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the crisis, then, is if you have a heart that can only see the horizon of this life and not beyond, that heart is going to be trapped, and it's hope,
it's hope that
heals that heart to think of the things that are beyond.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point, to think of the things that are beyond, and that's a part of what can get us through crises like we're dealing with right now. You're listening to Relevant Radio. It's the Cale Clark Show. My guest is Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, OP, the Order of Preachers. He's a Dominican friar and priest. And let's talk about love just for a second. You know, Tom Sekempis wrote in The Imitation of Christ these famous words. He said, "Without charity or love, external work is of no value, but anything done in charity, even if it is ever so small and trivial, is entirely fruitful, inasmuch as God weighs the love with which a man acts rather than the deed itself." So how do we do things with love? Is it a matter of just trying to stir up our feelings, or what is it exactly?
Yeah, that's right. Again, charity is a virtue of the heart. It's in the will. It's not in our intellect. So it's not about just thinking about things or being educated about things.
Mm-hmm.
We can think of the Socratic fallacy that, people will love if we just teach them to love. Well, no, because it's not simply about knowing things. Charity, love is in the heart. It's in the will.
Yeah.
It's in the choice. So as far as doing things with great love, it helps to understand that, that our measure of love is expressed towards others as love for God. So Aquinas says that charity is the virtue whereby we love God for his own sake and ourselves and our neighbor for love of God. So it's not as if we're just loving our neighbor, but we're loving our neighbor out of love for God.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if we lose touch of that, right, it's then that we try and think, I have to do a great thing to somehow impress God. Well, God's not interested in great things. God is interested in things done for love of him. And it's like the way that a parent delights in the drawing of a young child, right?
Mm.
You know, 5-year-olds don't produce Van Goghs. 5-year-olds produce 5-year-old drawings. But the father and the mother of that child look on the drawing with great love, and they're delighted by it. And this is the way that ultimately the God looks at our deeds, our charitable works, because, you know, they're not going to impress God because he's God. But he does delight in them when they're done for him.
Well, that really resonates with me, Father, because I do have a 5-year-old child, a 5-year-old daughter named Michaela, and she does exactly that. She comes up with these finger-painting masterpieces. She'll paint a flower, or she'll draw some pictures of our dog, Egbert, and I just get so much delight from this. And I can imagine our Father God does get delight from our efforts to love him with deeds. Even if they're really small deeds in the eyes of the world, they're big to him, and that's really important. My guest is Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, the Dominican friar and priest who's part of the Godsplaining podcast team, and he also is a deputy editor at Alatea. And let's just talk about, obviously, the words of St. Paul in the New Testament. These three remain: faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Why is love the greatest theological virtue, and it's the one that's going to remain with us in the afterlife?
This is so cool. Yeah, this is a big point of discussion in the Dominican tradition, according to the theology of St. Thomas Aquinas. So I'm electric about this question.
It's good.
And so, of course, we have the scriptures to lean on, the authority of the apostle, St. Paul telling us that charity is the greatest. But Aquinas explains it this way, saying that faith is the knowledge of what is not apparent. So when you arrive in heaven, you'll be able to see everything.
Mm.
You won't have to have faith because you'll be gazing on God in a way that is not possible right now in this life. Okay, so similarly, hope disappears because you don't have to long for it. You know, we said that hope is the journey of the wayfarer, the traveler. When you've arrived, you don't have to hope for the destination because you're enjoying it. You're delighting in it.
Absolutely.
But charity is the virtue that allows us to love God as God is good in his own self. And this we can do for all eternity. We can rejoice in that and delight in it and celebrate God's goodness without end, because God's goodness is infinite.
Well, that is put so well, my guest, Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, Dominican friar and priest. Yeah, that's so true. And of course, God is love himself as well, as the scriptures tell us, Deus caritas est, if you will. And so, yeah, that's such a great point, that love is going to be there for all eternity. Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit more about faith, because obviously faith is a gift. We do need it for our journey in this life. Are there things that we can do in order to grow in faith in practical ways? How would you, if someone called in and asked about that, what would you say to them?
Oh, absolutely. No, faith pertains to the intellect. And when we believe, we assent to the true things that are said about God. So we're not believing in God as some kind of numinous thing that's beyond all human comprehension. God actually tells us things about himself.
Mm-hmm.
And we can study those things. So the important, one of the important things to do to nourish our faith is to be comfortable with the content of faith. You know, we can believe the material, the articles of faith, the things that are taught to us about it. So this means, in a very simple and very direct way in our lives, it means studying the scriptures. It means opening the catechism, and reading the fundaments of the church's teaching. It means calling in and fighting with a Dominican friar on a radio program. it means listening to the God-splaining podcast. You know, it means all of these things. It means taking seriously the invitation that God extends for us to think about God and to consider the mysteries of God. And this is what is so delightful about St. Dominic. You know, again, I said it earlier in the program that St. Dominic was known to always talk to or about God. This cultivating that is the work of faith, not because St. Dominic thought that he knew everything there was to know about God, but that he delighted in the constant learning of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that we can do as well, delight in this constant learning about God and his ways. We'll never be able to exhaust it. Obviously, as Aquinas himself found out in that mystical experience that he had at the end of his life, where he felt like everything that he wrote, even though it was still super legitimate, of course, from a theological point of view, he said it was nothing but straw compared to what he had experienced. And so we'll never be able to exhaust it, to be sure. My guest today on the Cale Clark Show is Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, part of the Godsplaining podcast team, and also from Alatea, chaplain at Providence College in Rhode Island. If you have a question for Father, you can call in right now, 1-888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, toll free. I do have a question of my own about St. Dominic for you, Father. I've always kind of wondered this. Now, obviously, according to tradition, I just want to know what your personal take is on this, because there's kind of competing traditions about the origins of the rosary. You know, there's the whole poor man's psalter angle, and then there's the tale that St. Dominic received the rosary directly from the hands of Our Lady. There's obviously a lot going on with the Albigensian heresy. Can you kind of, what's your particular take on the origins of the rosary and how that all fits together?
Yeah, so there are some things that we can say with a kind of rigorous historical approach that are very important. So from the outset, the Dominican order was very consecrated to the Virgin Mary. In fact, we are the first religious order in the church to make our vow of obedience to the Blessed Mother.
Hmm.
So when we profess our vow, we profess obedience to God, to Blessed Mary of a Virgin, to Blessed Dominic, our Father, and to you, Brother so-and-so, Prior Prudential, right? So that's our formula for vows. And so we have this very esteemed understanding of the Blessed Mother. In fact, the early friars believed that it was the Blessed Mother who called for the founding of the order. So there are these charming tales about this. And again, these things communicate a great devotion to Our Lady from the outset. Dominican friars quickly adopted the custom of singing the Salve Regina at the end of Compline, or the fact that we believe that Our Lady gave the scapular, which we wear as part of our habit, and that's a sign of our devotion to the Blessed Mother. So we have this very, very deep, very rich sense of the Blessed Mother in our lives. I have no doubt that St. Dominic would have been seen then as a devotee of Our Lady, and that he would have taken up and preached the devotions that were then rising mm-hmm. to her. Was it the rosary in the full form as we pray it now? Maybe, maybe not. I think we can have some pause there. But I am very certain that St. Dominic was deeply devoted to Our Lady. And so that's part of where we get this sensibility of the descriptions, the images of Our Lady handing on the rosary to St. Dominic.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have this really uncontestable historical fact that St. Dominic was very devoted to the Blessed Mother, that the early friars were, and then subsequently that we began to be famed preachers of the Holy Rosary.
That's a great answer.
Not for a fair account, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. My guest again on the Cale Clark Show today is Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, chaplain at Providence College in Rhode Island, senior editor of Alatea, and also one of the Dominican friars behind the very popular God-splaining podcast. And Father, I think we've got a question for you on the phone line. So if you don't mind, I'm going to pull up Carolyn, who's calling from San Francisco, California. Carolyn, welcome to the show. How are you? And what's your question for Father?
I would just like to know your opinion on why there is so much suffering in the world, like little children who have done nothing wrong, committed no sins, and they're being abused by awful adults. And I don't understand it. I believe in God, but I can't understand why God stands by and allows children to be abused.
Carolyn, this is such an important question. And it's so important that it's only one of two objections that St. Thomas Aquinas thought were worth grappling with to the existence of God. So the question of why there is evil in the world is that level. You know, so we have to acknowledge that this is a very deep and very, very serious concern, right? And we as believers have to ask it very gently. I think the reality of what we experience in the world, we have to take back to the fall. And we have to say that we live in a broken world, and that God has chosen for his own reasons to answer the evils that we see with his own goodnesses. So, of course, he sent his Son, he sent our Lord, and he sent so many saints to us who by their life and love, have given us so much. So I think those are the ways that we start to give an example, and to give a response. In the end, I don't think this is the kind of thing that we argue our way out of with a quick soundbite intellectually. I think the answer looks something more like the brothers fighting in Brothers Karamazov, where at the end of the conversation, the brother defending God, defending Christian belief, turns to his agnostic brother and gives him a kiss. And I think that's the response of a Christian, to answer with mercy and compassion and with great love, despite the difficulty of everything we face, like you're rightly raising.
Carolyn, does that help a little bit?
A little tiny bit, but that's not what it's not directing exactly toward my question, because I know there's evil in the world, and I know there's a lot of evil people. My question is, why does God not completely protect children from the evil people? I know some mm-hmm, people who mm-hmm, have been abused mm-hmm. as children, and it has ruined their whole life, their whole adult life, from his childhood, mm-hmm. And so I don't understand God's not being there to protect them. I know there's evil. I know there's the devil, and the devil takes over. I don't know. I know that.
Yeah. No. And I've sat there with people as well, Carolyn, and it's very difficult to face this kind of evil. And anyone who doesn't weep, you know, with someone who is weeping because of that experience of their life is heartless. And so I guess, you know, to be a little bit more direct here, what we're experiencing is God's total love for our freedom. God so loves our freedom that he wants us to choose to love him, and will always allow for people to make even grievous errors out of his, meaning God's, commitment to our own freedom. This is a heavy thing.
It absolutely is. And Carolyn, thank you very much for that question. It is a very tough question. It's on the minds of a lot of people these days, especially in the light of fairly recent scandals that have been uncovered in the church once again, unfortunately. Yeah, and the free will is really the key here to understanding, in some ways, the mystery of evil. And I'm kind of curious too, because you said something earlier, Father, and I wanted to follow up on that with you myself. My guest today on the Cale Clark Show is Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, Dominican friar and priest, part of the Godsplaining podcast team. And Father, you mentioned that Aquinas had one of the arguments against the only two arguments that he thought were worth considering against God. One was the problem of evil. What was the other one?
The second one is that Aquinas says that we have to resist the temptation to explain everything away by scientific inquiry. So this we also see a lot of, as we grapple with the real questions, the mysteries of evil, the great suffering that many people see in life. The other temptation can be to say, well, eventually we're just going to figure all this out. The reason that this is so problematic is because it's answering a philosophical question, answering the question of why with the question of how. So providing scientific means, study and exploration, which are just a mechanism, a means, abilities to measure, and bending those as if they could answer the question of why. I think that's the other, you know, that's the other great temptation of our age, certainly. And Aquinas, a 13th century theologian, knew that and saw that.
Absolutely. And of course, in Christianity, we do have a God who experienced the brunt of evil in himself. And I think that does provide some comfort for people who have suffered in various ways, knowing that God is intimately familiar with suffering and seeing his son suffer. And it does provide help for people, I believe. There's no question about it. So you're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. My guest today is Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, Dominican friar and priest, and he is a chaplain at Providence College in Rhode Island. We've got another question online. Don is calling from one of your neighbors perhaps, from Cranston, Rhode Island. Don, welcome to the show. And what's your question for Father?
Okay, I just want to say thank you to both of you. Cale, I love your show. I really enjoy listening to you as daily as possible.
Thanks. You're very kind.
First of all, I was just listening to this interchange regarding evil and our response to it as individuals. I didn't really totally hear what the woman before had said or commented on, but I kind of got the tail end of it. And I was thinking in my heart is that, you know, because we have free will, we have a decision to make. Like, there is evil in the world, but it's a residual result of original sin. But as faithful men and women and even children, we have a duty to respond, to use our free will to love. So in response to intrinsically evil actions of others, we have a responsibility to choose to love, especially children. I mean, I can say for myself that I had a very difficult childhood, and, you know, growing up, I had a lot of trauma, but I chose to work to see the good and the evil around me by loving. And I learned from that, not even being aware of it, I guess, if that makes sense. So that wasn't my question. My question pertained to the rosary. So my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I just wanted to know that, did the rosary originate originally from, like, the Desert Fathers would pray the Psalms? And my understanding is that they use stones to keep track, like kind of like putting stones in a pile to keep track of the Psalms. And did it kind of tie in over time with the rosary, how it is today.
Okay, Father. Yeah, any comment on the Desert Fathers?
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for your response there. That was very moving to me. And I'm certainly sorry for the sufferings that you face, but I think the incredible testimony, right, is to say that there's no evil so great that God can't conquer it with his love. And so that's what I heard you saying in a very beautiful way. Now, as regards the strict historical account of the rosary, yeah, it seems that there's a number of different traditions there. It could have been Desert Fathers. This sort of moving of stones that you're referring to from the Desert Fathers. Of course, we have the Eastern tradition of reciting the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, as a kind of continual expression of prayer, right? So we have these ideas that are coming from the two related but different traditions of the Eastern Fathers and of desert monasticism. So what then began to happen is people would make cords and would count Pater Nosters. It seems that rose up first. So they would pray the Our Father, and they would pray 150 Our Fathers to match the 150 psalms that monks began to pray in medieval monasteries on the cycle prescribed by St. Benedict. So that combination of things all seems to be in the mix as kind of the evolution of this prayer.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And Don, thank you very much for your call and for your words on Choosing Love, too. They were indeed very moving. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you've got a question for my guest today, Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, Dominican friar and priest, and because you're a chaplain at Providence College, Father, I thought I'd ask you this question. What are students asking about God these days? What do they want God explained to them on college campuses, do you think?
Right. Well, there are a few questions that might surprise you that come up regularly.
Yeah, okay. Let's hear it.
Students are very interested in the dynamic elements of the spiritual life. So we talk a lot about angels and demons, partly because of the fantastic nature of both of those things, partly because of students' own experience of evil and goodness. And so things that we might think, oh, this is some kind of embarrassing and archaic part of the Catholic tradition, are actually at the forefront of inquisitive minds. And rather than shy away from them, it's very fun to unpack them.
Yeah, that doesn't actually surprise me at all. I only have one other show. I think that two is enough. I have one other show on Relevant Radio. It's called The Faith Explained Show. And it's really a gigantic Bible study. And we just went through the book of Revelation. We're doing the book of Genesis right now. And one of the reasons why I picked Revelation is because there's always such a clamor for it. The supernatural is really at the forefront in that book. Mark of the Beast, you know, who is the Antichrist, all that sort of stuff. So I'm not surprised at all that students are interested in at least that topic, to be sure. Now, I've got a personal question that's come into us, Father, for you. And this listener did not want us to mention their name, which is totally fine. So it's an anonymous question. And the question is this: what advice would you give to a married person who feels a strong pull towards a life of study and prayer, somewhat like the religious life? What would you say to somebody like that? Would you recommend that they go to a lay or a third order vocation or something like that? That's an interesting question. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. And that could be the right answer for that person, you know, depending on where they are, right? There are chapters of lay Dominicans, so Dominicans who align themselves with this charism of the order and live in their lives. An understanding of obedience and poverty and closeness to the church. So that's totally an option. I would also say that so much can be done by undertaking formal study. So you might gain a lot from entering into a class or two from so many of the church's great institutes. Some of them are online, like you can think of the Augustine Institute or maybe seminary classes at Holy Apostles, you know, if you want to do something more formal. Otherwise, I would say, to ask a thoughtful priest to coordinate something very rich. You know, the study of papal encyclicals is a gold mine. The writings of St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict and some of Pope Francis's recent things are really very rich texts and offer a lot to be thought about. So I've been a part of groups that have read encyclicals together that have been really rich.
Yeah, I think that's great advice.
Those three things.
Oh yeah, and you're right. Like, and not many people turn to the encyclicals, and it is indeed a spiritual and theological goldmine, to be sure. But to the listener, I just want to say, don't leave your marriage vocation though. Too that is God's call for you, so He wants you to stay there.
That was the assumed premise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, shouldn't have to say that, but hey, just in case you're thinking, no, God wants you where you are in that vocation as well. And it's interesting because yesterday's saint of the day, there was actually a nice piece on her in Alatea, actually. And this was, of course, St. Francis of Rome, kind of was in that same boat where she thought she was called to the religious life, wound up getting married. At the end, I can maybe talk about her in a minute because I know you've got to go, Father. But before you go, I just want to thank you for being on the program today. Father Patrick Mary Briscoe has been my guest. He's a Dominican friar and priest. He's part of the team behind the God-splaining podcast, where Dominican friars talk about deep issues and how they relate to our everyday lives. And Father, before you go, how can people get connected with you? Tell us about your Twitter account and maybe some other ways.
Yeah, perfect. Please, you can follow me at Patrick Mary OP. That's my Twitter handle, Patrick Mary OP. All of my information is available on the God-splaining podcast website. That's God-splaining, all one word, godsplaining.org. Or by reading Alatea, which is a great source for inspirational Catholic news and thoughtful articles about how to live the faith vibrantly in family life. So those three places are ways that you can find to follow me, and I hope that those efforts enrich your faith.
They sure will. And we will, by the way, to all those listening out there, we will put those links in the show notes. So if you go to relevantradio.com/kale, we will put those in there for you in case you missed that. We've got the links for you all set up. And Father, I know you've got to run. I know you've got another appointment, but I really want to thank you for taking the time to join us today on the Cale Clark Show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it was a true pleasure. Thank you so much. That was Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, OP, if you need him, Dominican friar and priest, and you can contact him at his Twitter account. And also, don't forget the God's Planning podcast. It's really, really good. I really enjoy it, and I'm sure that you will as well. Wow, what a great interview. So glad that he took the time to do that. And I did want to mention, just as a follow-up, because that listener question about maybe being married to someone, but yet feeling that you somehow missed out on your vocation. I do. Now, we didn't have a chance to talk about this yesterday because we had so much on our plate yesterday. I really wanted to talk about her, and I'm glad that this kind of leads into it today. So we have about a minute left here, but I do want to highlight, there's a great article on the Alatea website. Of course, Father Patrick Mary is an editor, a senior editor of Alatea. There's a great article by Cecilia Pigg yesterday about St. Francis of Rome. And it's very interesting because she felt like she wasn't living the life that she had really been called to. She felt that God was calling her to be a nun. She was absolutely convinced of that. But her father insisted that she be married. And he actually set up a marriage for her. And she really couldn't talk him out of this. Now, at this time, she was on the younger side. She was in her teenage years. And that's just the way it was done back then. So she did eventually give in. She begrudgingly married a man who her father picked out for her as an arranged marriage, and his name was Lorenzo. And she was pretty upset. Francis was really, really unhappy in the first few months of her marriage. It's not what she wanted, and she just did not look forward to any aspects of it, whether it was entertaining guests, running a household, getting along with her in-laws. Everything was a burden for her, and she was so stressed out, she became physically ill. And she went to see her spiritual director. And her spiritual director said this, and it really started to change her life. She was crying and explaining all this, and he said, "Are you crying because you want to do God's will, or because you want God to do your will?" And that completely flipped a switch for her, and she started to change her outlook on things. And this is important. She realized that in order to do God's will, she had to live her marriage with Lorenzo to the fullest, and she did. And eventually, by the way, after he passed away, she did join the religious life, so she got both. Thank you for joining us today on The Cale Clark Show. Lucas Holt produced. Karen Moran works social media. Patrick Alog screened the calls. And Father Patrick Mary Briscoe was my guest today. I want to thank him. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my dad.